This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thank you for the intro, Brent Musburger. It's Monday Night Football on VSiN, but it's not the NFL. It's college football. We got SMU of Florida State coming up later. That's our top game tonight. And it's not a Friday night, even though it's Matt Eumanns and Will Hill. We're typically on Friday nights. Big Red, Tim Murray is out tonight. So Will Hill steps in his place. And Will, great to see you here. I have a feeling that you might go on a rant here at the start of the show because I looked at the baseball schedule today and I said, Will's not going to be happy with this. How can eight teams be off in MLB on Labor Day and the Yankees not be playing?
Shouldn't happen, and great to be with you, Matt. Last show for you and I together for a while. I know you have prepared a poem that you're going to read later in the show, so yeah. I urge the VSiN listeners to stick around for that. Should be a good one, but yeah, come on. Labor Day, 4th of July, Memorial Day, these are American holidays, cookouts, hot dogs, hamburgers, little beer, and a little baseball. Teams should not be off. The Yankees shouldn't be off, or nobody should be off, but you know what? Just you can't get too frustrated. Can't waste my breath. Nobody sitting here, you know, wondering what I'm going to say or think and going to, adjust the schedule accordingly. It's ridiculous. It wasn't this way for a long time. I know, you know, you and I are old enough to know growing up or remember growing up these summer holidays, 4th of July, Labor Day and Memorial Day. It was just an automatic. You'd either have a baseball game or you'd have two baseball games. You have a doubleheader. To not have games is crazy, but five straight days of football is, I guess, enough to keep us occupied here. We got a decent game tonight, an interesting game tonight, in addition to all the baseball.
You know, before we get started on tonight's baseball, how about the game today? Really good one between the Cubs and the Brewers, and this means a lot in that division race. The Brewers come back to win 4-3. Pete Crow Armstrong hits his 41st home run. I said this a week ago, and I think we can pound the point home now. The MVP race has been over for a while, right? It's MVP Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, and it made it easier on the voters that Ohtani has sat out here as Crow Armstrong has gotten hot, as Ohtani has not pitched since right around the 1st of July. So, it would have been interesting if Ohtani made a return to the mound where Ohtani's won the award so many times. You get sick of giving it to him. Let's give it to someone new. Crow Armstrong's had this great year. It would have been a fascinating race, but the fascination has kind of left the building here. It's going to be Crow Armstrong. And for Mets fans, for the Dave Rosses of the world, Captain America, it's already been a tough year, but when you trade a guy for 2 or 3 months of Javi Baez in a year we didn't make the playoffs for a future MVP and an MVP that's now in his prime, it's salt to the wound. But yeah, it's going to be Crow Armstrong. They don't announce these awards until basically Thanksgiving, but when you're sitting down for your turkey dinner on Thanksgiving, Crow Armstrong will have won the National League MVP.
Yeah, that one's over, and I'm breathing a lot easier about the Brewers to win that division race, especially after they get the win today, even though I was not sweating it out even before today. But it was a big win by Milwaukee, 4-3. Closing line here at Circa today was 121. Brewers, slight favorites in a dramatic game in Milwaukee, and our buddy Big Red, Tim Murray, was there to witness it today. Brewers 4, Cubs 3 in the opener of that series. We got games tonight on the West Coast in San Francisco, L.A., and West Sacramento. We'll get to those later in the show. We got a game ongoing right now in San Diego. Padres on top of the Nationals, 3-2 in the seventh. Will, when I walked in the Circa book, the live line was Padres minus 1,400. This game has tightened up. It is now a one-run game after a two-run shot by the Nationals. Did you bet anything on the baseball card tonight or anything that's in progress currently?
I didn't. I didn't love the card. I was looking for something to bet, but with kind of a lighter card, at least for a Labor Day here, I didn't see anything that really jumped out to me. So I passed the whole card. We'll see if something pops up here in the later games here in terms of a live bet. But I felt like I was forcing it if I was betting anything. So I did not bet anything. How about you? Did anything jump out to you? Do you have any bets here in this Labor Day card?
All right, so I thought the easiest bet to make today was the Red Sox against that hapless Angels team at Fenway Park. Red Sox were minus 167. Price was a little bit too high for me. Didn't play it. I regret not betting it because that was a rocking chair winner for Boston. I did play the Reds tonight, plus 159. Chase Burns going for the Reds, just a small play and a dog, nothing serious. But I like the Dodgers are wobbly right now. And this, I think the Reds are catching them at the right time. Chase Burns, Definitely the better pitcher going tonight at plus 159. I thought that was worth a little shot, but just an entertainment bet, nothing serious tonight. Now, we'll be watching Dylan Cease as he goes for the Blue Jays against the A's in West Sacramento. And Dylan Cease has been on a hell of a run. He's now up to 10 wins, two behind our guy Cam Schlittler. Cease here at Circa, minus 196, total of 8.5 in that game. And if you were putting together a parlay and wanted to throw the Blue Jays on that, I would not argue. But, Will, I would like to see Dylan Cease get hit hard here one or two times down the stretch, or at least once. Nobody's really been hitting Cease, and he's keeping the pressure on Cam Schlittler in that AL Cy Young race.
And that's a place where you can get hit. Now, the A's lineup, it's just a fraction of what it was when the season started, when you have all these monster hitters in that small ballpark or the minor league ballpark. They haven't hit well, but you throw them in that ballpark and the dimensions and, you know, the altitude, everything like that that you deal with in Sacramento, it's not an easy place to pitch. So maybe Seats gets lit up. Toronto's played well. They got buried yesterday by Kansas City, but they played pretty well here. You know, at the All-Star break, or at least at the trading deadline, I should say, seemed like they were done. They got to about as low as, I want to say, 9 or 10 games under 500. They've come soaring back. It's an American League where nobody wants to pull away. You're never out of it, it seems. Even Baltimore, who has lost every day for a week, in a position, in a sport where you can't lose every day for a week, they win today, and they're not quite out of it. So Toronto in the thick of this race. And, you know, Matt, whoever gets that sixth seed, I think Femi Abefe made the point, it's a good one. Whoever gets the sixth seed, it's almost like the one seed, because you know what? You'd probably rather be the one. You get the bye, you get home field. But if you're the six, you draw probably the Astros in the best of three, and then the White Sox in the best of five. You win those, you look up and you're in the ALCS. So it's a very realistic path to making a decent run if you do get the sixth seed. And Toronto is as live as anyone. I didn't play anyone here. Toronto's the favorite. They're the rightful favorite. I don't want to lay this price. I could get laying a run and a half, but you know, I don't get in the habit too much of laying a run and a half. I'm going to do it. It's going to be on with the road team here like Toronto is. But
right.
Just at least pass, but who knows? We got a few hours until this game starts. Maybe by the time the game begins here, I'll find a way to attack this. And if anything, it probably would be Toronto, but it'd have to be minus 1.5. I don't really want to throw them in a money line parlay. I don't want to take the dog here, but I could understand the sentiment here for Toronto.
If you're going to make a bet on this game, I think Blue Jays laying a run and a half would have to be the play with Dylan Cease, who's been, like I said, outstanding the past couple months, really since the beginning of July, right before the All-Star break. All right, we're going to recap eventually here a highly entertaining and wild weekend in college football, but we have one more game before we wrap up the week. Here it is.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
SMU at Florida State. Not your typical Monday night football game, but that's what we got tonight in the ACC. Seminoles, 3-point home dogs, and total of 53 here at Circa. We got a bunch of plays on the VSIM Pro page on this game tonight. Mustang Seminoles in Tallahassee. How about Dave Ross? Super Dave is going to play SMU in the first half, minus 1.5. A bunch of plays on SMU, and one play on Florida State. Will, I'm going to get your reaction to this after I read off all the plays tonight. These are all the handicappers we have on SMU. And Stormy Bonantoni was laying 2.5, minus 115 on SMU. Most handicappers laying 3. Bruce Marshall, Colin Wilson, Brian Edwards, Ryan Kramer. The Big Swede is on the money line on SMU. David Bierman, CJ Sullivan, Chris Facile, Eric Cohen. All those handicappers on the SMU side tonight. Jensen Lewis is on the under 53.5. And Brad Taylor. How about Brad Taylor out of Kentucky, the lone wolf here on Florida State, plus 3? Will, what's your immediate reaction here when you see, about 10 handicappers on the SMU side?
Yeah, I mean, imagine if we had somebody from behind the book, they would say the sharp side is people taking the points, the square side is people laying the points, the sharp people want to take the home dog and capitalize possibly on the overreaction. I would just phrase it this way. I have no bet on the game. And we'll see if we can find something live. If this game were Saturday at noon and there was 100 other games going on, would you still be betting it? If the answer is no, you should probably not be betting it tonight just because it's a standalone game. It's Labor Day. People at the cookouts, they've had a couple drinks. They want some action. The line looks about right. I mean, I can understand both sides of it. I can understand, you know what, capitalizing on the overreaction, take the home dog. I mean, how should SMU be laying points in Tallahassee? on the other hand, Florida State did look pretty bad. It just doesn't seem like they have the horses anymore. They don't have the money with the NIL, and SMU is simply the better team. I'm happy to sit it out. I think SMU probably wins the game. I don't want to lay points to find out. I know it's not fun, but that's kind of the realistic way I look at it. How about you? Anything you you agree with, disagree with from what I said?
I don't like playing road favorites. I rarely do, even though I got away. I got away with one Saturday night with UCLA as a road favorite of Cal, but I don't play many of them. And I'm not playing SMU here because I think there's so much Florida State hate out there in the market. And you're seeing, what, 10 handicappers line up on the SMU side and one on Florida State. I don't want to be with the majority on games like this. Now, we had two games similar to this yesterday. The betting public pounded Notre Dame, and the betting public pounded Ole Miss. Well, that was a split. Notre Dame probably shouldn't have covered, but did. And we'll talk about that later. I thought Louisville, we were a little bit fortunate there to get that tie game late where Ole Miss had to win by a field goal and failed to cover. But anyway, it's lopsided tonight where I'm seeing some books reporting 80% of the action on the SMU side. I don't want to be on that side. I think the Mustangs have the better quarterback and Kevin Jennings, probably the better team. But the situation kind of sets up for a surprise from the Florida State side tonight, and I'm just going to stay away from this game in Tallahassee. There's been a lot of talk about Mike Norvell, and it's not if, it's when he's going to be fired as Florida State coach. But if he gets a win like this tonight, he's going to get a second life. That's our game of the night. Right now, SMU, a 3-point road favorite, total of 53. That kicks off in about 25 minutes, and Johnny Avello of DraftKings is going to join us before kickoff. Stay tuned here on VSIN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, the wait is finally over. College football is back. The NFL season kicks off this week. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, best bets from VSiN experts, and a lot more. You'll also receive our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams. Sign up now. Become a VSiN Pro. You're going to get real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and everything we do on VSiN.com. Get started for just $9.99. Or you can save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription, VSIN.com/subscribe. We're going to hear from John Jastrzemski here in a minute. We got a clip from a show Will Hill, you and JJ were on over the weekend, talking about a best bet on a total in NFL Week 1. Before we get to that, let me tell you about our guest list on tonight's show. Very impressive lineup of guests. We got Johnny Avello from DraftKings to talk about SMU, Florida State, college football opening weekend, and what to expect here in NFL Week 1 from a betting perspective. Johnny Avello of DraftKings coming up in 15 minutes. I'm going to say sports handicapping legend Jim Feist on in hour number two tonight. Jim was part of the Circuit Friday Football Invitational a year ago. I remember growing up watching Jim Feist on a black and white TV on his tout show on the USA Network. He's going to give you thoughts on how to bet the NFL in hour number two. Hour number three, Fernando Ramirez, who covers the Chargers for the Sporting Tribune. And Will Hill, it's going to be a big week for the Chargers, because they're going to be the top consensus play most likely in the Circa Survivor Contest. So we're going to ask Fernando, could the Chargers get upset by the Cardinals this week? And then our number four tonight, Bruce Marshall of the Gold Sheet, and he's not happy at all about what happened in Ann Arbor, Michigan over the weekend. Bruce is going to sound off on that scandal in Ann Arbor over the weekend. Will Hill, I assume you had something to say about what happened in the Western Michigan-Michigan game. Did you tweet about it?
I mean, nothing original. I just thought it was robbery. And yeah. You know, I think it was I forget who had the tweet. Maybe it was Big Al McCourty who made the point. If it was Western Michigan who was on offense
come on,
and they got the extra second and they scored a touchdown, people would have been less upset because it's not the big boy that got the break. I think there's some truth to that. But you know what? Western Michigan got robbed. You can't do this, not only to Western Michigan, Matt, you can't do this to the viewer. The clock is sacred. I don't want to hear about tenths of a second or a secret clock. We all saw what happened. We saw the clock. The clock has to be sacred. You can't do that to the, well, you know what? We got the secret clock. There's a play left. Granted, it wasn't one more play from the two or the three. They still had to complete a Hail Mary, and Underwood, as bad as he played, that was a pretty athletic play to drop back and get the ball in the end zone. That was robbery, though. That's about as bad as anything I've ever seen in pro sports. I didn't care who won, had no interest whatsoever, but that, just as a sports fan, as just a consumer of the sport, that left a bad taste in my mouth, as it seemed to with pretty much everyone else.
Yeah, we'll talk about this a little bit more in depth here later in the show, but we got some tweets about it. And one thing I'll mention about what Al McMorty said, Western Michigan never would have been given an extra second, right?
100%.
There's no chance. That was all about giving the Power Conference team the second chance to avoid the upset. Western Michigan never would have got that second. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. So I mentioned that John Jastrzemski was on with you over the weekend, and you guys do a show together on Sundays. What's the name of the show? What time is the show?
Weekend Morning Line on Sundays, 9 to noon Eastern in the morning. But you know what? It doesn't, no point in promoting a show that's not going to be going on during the football season. We're going to go back to Mitch and Pauly during football season, and hopefully we'll back in the winter. But it was fun doing the show with JJ while we could, and while he's not golfing with Mike Francesa, because I guess him and Mike Francesa are big golf buddies, which I didn't realize.
I didn't realize that either. You sent me a clip over the weekend about that. All right, so that's 9 a.m. Eastern is when you guys were on? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, because I was in Hawaii. Correct. Saturday morning. And I believe your show came on in six. Your show was on, I think your show was on at like 5 in the morning when I landed at the Honolulu airport, 5 a.m. And so you would have been on for an hour or two before that. But I was like, man, Will's on early this morning. But there's a big time difference, Will. That's 6 hours from the East Coast to Hawaii. And when I landed out there for the UNLV Hawaii football game, which we'll talk about later too. All right, so you and JJ talked about what you like in week one. And I thought this was interesting because he likes a total, and it's in the Tampa Bay-Cincinnati game. I see a total of DraftKings as high as 51.5. And again, 51 is a key number in totals. And here at Circa, the total is 50.5. If you want to play under 51.5 at DK, it's minus 120. 50.5 here at Circa. Here's John Jastrzemski with Will Hill over the weekend on the Bengals Bucks under the total.
Can I give you a total I like? And I'm staying off this game, even though I'm down on the Bucks going into the season. I know people are going to say, oh, they got a good offensive line, they have good receivers. I don't trust the coach. I think the coach is terrible. I think the defense is taking a major step back, and Baker didn't play great down the stretch. That total for Cincinnati and Tampa, 50.5, it opened 52.5. That is way too many points. Way too many points for early.
Oh, game. Interesting. So you're buying the Cincy defense could be better. You're buying that. I've heard a lot of people make that.
Yeah, and
game.
Also like week, it's that combined with the fact that week one, it's like usually these offenses are not like humming and moving in rhythm. And
that's a good point.
These games end up being very ugly. So if you get a bunch of ugly games, a 50.5 is just way too rich a total for my liking. So I do like the under there between Cincinnati and Tampa Bay.
You guys are running right up against the break there on that one. JJ couldn't stop talking, apparently, like he does when he's on the golf course with Mike Francesa. What did Francesa say about JJ? He talks to the birds. He talks to the trees. He never stops talking when he's on the golf course.
He said JJ talks to everyone. He talks to the caddy. He talks to the trees. He talks to anyone who will listen, pretty much was Francesa's assessment of JJ.
How do you feel about the total 50.5? Or if you want to play under 51.5 at DraftKings, I think this Bengals defense is going to be better, but I have not completely bought in.
I do too.
You know, it's kind of like you're talking about Cincinnati and Dallas, right? Cowboys and Bengals, two of the worst defenses in the NFL a year ago. Are they better? Yeah, they both look a lot better on paper, but if they're significantly better, Will, they would be a lot middle-of-the-pack defenses in the NFL. How do you feel about the Bengals' D, the outlook, and the total?
Agree, the Cincy defense should be better in 50.5 this early in the season. It would be an under just because there's no continuity with no preseason. These teams don't play as much or barely at all, so it would be under or pass. The problem is that mindset – you know, got me into a lot of trouble, especially last year. I didn't do well, and I didn't do well on totals, especially unders, and it was more unders for me than overs. And, you know, I don't know how many totals you play, Matt. I think you're more of a dog better, but unders in the NFL are tough, and it's just these kickers can kick from anywhere. You almost get a 3 automatic points before the half because these guys can hit, you know, 60, 65 yarders. The landing zone makes field goal or field position better. So if you're starting at the 35 and you can make a kick, make a field goal from midfield, it's just like you're almost in scoring position. Like, not that I want to play over, but just unders, as much as I like to play them in the past early in the season, it just gets harder and harder to do in the NFL now.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, I know last year Chris Massaro loved the Raiders-Patriots under the total in week 1, and I thought he had very good reasons behind that, and that one stayed under the total. I prefer to bet unders like I did Saturday night in the UNLV-Hawaii game. Turned out 56.5 was the total, 21-6 was the final. I love games like that. But, yeah, I don't bet a lot of totals. I think I've bet 5 so far in college football. I'm 3-2 and typically don't bet a lot of them. I'm not that great or don't have great luck sometimes with totals. And I know what you're saying about last year, because typically I've looked to bet unders early in the season as well, and I don't think it went so well with totals trying to play under early last year in the NFL, aside from that Raiders-Patriots game. How do you feel about the Buccaneers being live dogs? Because we know the Bengals have been a booby trap for a lot of Circus Survivor players in week 1. Are the Bengals going to be live going into Cincinnati with Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I think everybody's pretty much live week 1. And you could make the case, you know, Tampa's being slept on. They've won this division. They've dominated this division. And up until midpoint last year, where you can make the case Baker Mayfield and the rest of the offense got hurt, looked like they were going to win it again. And he got hurt. The performance of the team tailed off. And now everyone's kind of forgotten about them. So I would probably take the points before I laid it, but I don't have anything on this game. And what's keeping me off it too is Cincy's defense might finally, you know, you made the comparison to Dallas, which is a good one. Maybe they're at the point now where they can at least get to average. The offense is still elite and they're going to be a really good team, but no play, at least for me at the moment.
Yeah, teams like the Bengals and the Cowboys, worst defenses in the NFL last year. If you improve, if you get up to middle of the pack, ranked somewhere around 14th, 17th, that gives you a chance to win something in the postseason if your defense is just a little bit improved. You're not going to win jack if you got one of the worst defenses in the league. And that was the case with the Bengals and the Cowboys a year ago. I think they're both better. But we will see in week 1. I think J.J. John Jastrzemski probably on the right train of thought there with under 51.5 at DraftKings or under 50.5 here at Circa on Bucks Bengals. When we come back, Johnny Avello tees it up for SMU at Florida State.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, it's Monday Night Football, so you know what that means. Here's Johnny. Let's go out to the Progressive Guest Line. DraftKings Sportsbook Director Johnny Avello joins us for the pregame tonight. And this is not the NFL, Johnny, but it's an isolated football game, so I'm sure it's heavily bet. SMU at Florida State. What do the numbers show at DraftKings right now in terms of the betting splits, and where are you at on the side and total?
The numbers show that they like SMU a lot here, and they also like the over here. You know, and what's not to like about the SMU team? I mean, last year was a very successful year. They beat Miami, Florida. It looks like they've got a lot of pieces back this year. We saw Florida struggle with Florida State struggle with New Mexico State, and so now, you know, you just, I think the bettors are just going by what they've seen so far, and the, you know, kind of the state of mind with the Florida State team over the last couple of years. So they're just going with a team they believe is the better team. You know, Florida State does have the one game under their belt, and so that may help them. And maybe what we saw was not the real Florida State, but it didn't look good.
Yeah, there's a lot of Florida State hate out there after a first week performance against New Mexico State. But that doesn't mean you have to bet against Florida State tonight. Johnny, it looks like at DraftKings you're at -3, -02, and total of 53.5. So you're seeing heavy action on the favorite and the over?
Yeah, and it's only moved to half a point, but you know, it's all come in within the last you know, three to 5 hours.
About to get underway in Tallahassee, and how about this, Will Hill? All three ESPN experts on the pregame show picked SMU to win the game, including Jimbo Fisher, former Florida State coach. Did you see that?
I did. Might as well send in the result right now.
All right, Johnny, how about college football week one? We had the week zero openers, but then week one is when pretty much every team was in action. It was a wild weekend for sure. We're going to get to what happened in Ann Arbor, Michigan here in a minute, but how were the results for DraftKings for the first big weekend of the college football season?
You know, Friday had limited games, but when you take the Friday games and add them with the Saturday games, you know, Saturday didn't turn out to be such a great day. You know, LSU, UCLA, A&M, Texas, Oklahoma, Bama, Oak State, Ohio State, Florida, Penn State, they all won and covered the number. And so, you know, when that happens, even though they're all playing, you know, pretty much cream puffs, they did cover the number, and all those type of parlays did hit. So not the greatest of Saturdays for us. And then Sunday, we split those two games. We lost on the Notre Dame game. We won on the Ole Miss game. So not a bad day Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I figured was going to happen. It looked like the betting public was pounding Notre Dame and also Ole Miss, the two favorites getting heavy action on Sunday. Louisville got the cover, and so did Notre Dame. She got a split there. How about what happened in Ann Arbor with Western Michigan and Michigan? I'm sure you've seen it. Did you have bettors at DraftKings who played Western Michigan on the money line who wanted refunds?
And, more so, we had Michigan money on the money line, okay. You know, just tied in other parlays. I mean, I saw it and everybody else saw it, and you could show me a replay and say that, you know, the guy touched his fingers. But everything I saw showed that the clock had run out. Now, if that clock that I saw is the same as the official clock, then time ran out. So, you know, the only thing I could say is that the clock somebody else was looking at was different.
There's a secret clock, Johnny, nobody knew about, and that's had 1 second left, obviously. The Big Ten revealed the secret clock had 1 second left, and that's how the Wolverines were able to get a second chance. So that seems kind of crazy to me that a lot of people were putting Michigan money line on parlays on a favorite that big.
Do that because they figure that's a winner. And they just try to maximize their money and, you know, put them with all the other teams that are big favorites. You know, it takes you about 5-6 teams to make even a little bit of money, but that's how they usually bet those first week games. Who thought that Western Michigan actually had a chance to win that football game?
Well, I mean, Will Hill thought that UMass had a shot to beat Rutgers, 29-point underdog last week, and it happened. Rutgers went down. Almost two Big Ten teams got upset and major, major upsets. But Michigan survives miraculously with the help from the video review team. All right, enough from college football. Will Hill, let's tee it up for NFL Week 1 on Wednesday.
Yeah, I've got some NFL questions for you, Johnny. Just quickly on Western Michigan, just as a DraftKings customer, I know you guys are quick to pay out. You want people to rebet it. Did any books that I saw? I know some books did this. Did your book or any other books pay out on it? And do you have any idea what the price was before the first or even the second Hail Mary was attempted?
We did not pay out on it, Will. You know, we've kind of learned our lesson doing that, pulling the trigger too early. And so we wait. And, you know, as soon as the clock said zero, but you could tell very quickly that there was going to be a review. So that there was no payout on our end. As far as the price, I can't recall what that price was, to be honest with you, because I didn't pay attention to it, and I didn't even go back and look at it, because I knew that the side, was more Michigan money on the money line, and the game wasn't going to hurt us, so I didn't actually take a good enough look at it.
Yeah, and the price after the first Hail Mary, I couldn't even imagine. But let's switch over to NFL. Look, I feel like the Seahawks have been disrespected here all summer. It's almost like people forgot they won the Super Bowl. They were a 4.5-point favorite on a neutral field in February. They dominate the Patriots. Now we're playing the game in Seattle, and they're only a 3.5-point favorite. I think, if anything, there's some value on Seattle. I don't love laying points in the NFL, especially week one, but tell me where I'm wrong here. What's your take on Patriots and Seahawks here, the rematch?
I don't have a personal take on it, but I can tell you this game's been up a long time. We opened at 3.5. We opened a total 44.5, and there's been no movement on the total or the side. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of money on this game, because there is. It's a nice balance, but we are a little bit high on the Patriots on the money line, and I think that trend will continue. On our network, the Patriots are a team that got people close last year. They had a lot of money on them. You know, with our company being in Boston, we just seem to have always a lot of Patriot money when they play, especially now that they're, you know, a pretty good football team, new coach, and got them going in the right direction. So we're going to need probably the Seahawks to at least win the game, but, you know, still got a little bit of time to write on this one.
All right, Rams, 49ers. Rams are getting there late. 49ers are getting there early. I think the 49ers here are a live dog, but you tell me here, what have the bettors been doing and what's your thought here? Rams and 49ers, a really good Thursday night game in Australia.
The bettors pushed this from 2.5 up across the number to 3.5. The total's been pretty steady at 48.5. So they like the Rams here. The hype's on the Rams. The Rams been getting all the ink lately. I think the 49ers, a divisional game like this, is probably maybe the smarter side to take, but the general public thinks that the Rams have already won the Super Bowl.
Johnny, when you look at the screen here, there's only one book in Vegas, I believe, at 4 right now, and that's the South Point. Chris Andrews at Rams -4. Do you anticipate DraftKings going to 4 by kickoff on Thursday night?
I didn't. My thinking now is that we will not, but, maybe he's just taking some money from, or an overabundance of money from a lot of people. But, you know, I'm seeing this number kind of pretty much hold here. So not anticipating that, Maddie, no.
All right, let's take a quick look at a couple other the high profile games here in the NFL week one. Cowboys Giants. In New York, Cowboys right now, 2.5 or 3. Circa's at 3, DraftKings at 2.5. What do you expect to see on that game?
Yeah, this is a game where I expect Cowboy money. I know there's going to be the Giant faithful is going to take a shot, certainly on the money line, thinking they're going to get off to a good start. I just think the Cowboys, I believe that the Cowboys have probably one of their better teams in a while, and I expect them to contend at least for the division title and maybe even go further.
That's a Sunday night game in New York. And how about Monday night in KC, Broncos Chiefs, Johnny?
Yeah, they like the Chiefs here. 2.5 was the opener. We're at 3 now, laying even money. They also like the over in this one. I think a lot of people are not sure about Mahomes. I'm pretty sure about Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I think Mahomes is probably back at full strength. So I look for this 3 to probably hold up. There'll be plenty of Chief money all week long.
All right, Johnny, always appreciate you coming on to talk with us on Monday nights, and enjoy NFL week one. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
That's Johnny Avello.
Thanks, Johnny.
DraftKings Sportsbook. NFL week one almost here, Will Hill. Wednesday night, Thursday night. Get excited. All right, quick break. We come back, we're going to give you an update on Circa Survivor. Just passed a key number in entries. You're not going to believe it. Quick break. On the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Clyde Walker was the Average Joe winner a year ago in the Circa Friday Football Invitational Contest. Average Joe on VSiN.com. Clyde Walker was a quarterback at Florida State in the mid-1970s, and he was your Average Joe winner. I'm going to give you an update on what's happening with this Florida State football game tonight in just a moment. If you think you're better than the experts, now's your chance to prove it. The Edge Boost Average Joe Contest puts you in the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational, the one the pros play. Top Average Joe earns a spot in next year's Circa Invitational Field. Free to play, register anytime during the season. Edge Boost is offering its customers a $1,000 deposit if you finish first for the week. If you don't have an Edge Boost account yet, well, sign up at edgeboost.io with promo code VSIN and make sure your account is funded with at least $100. Enter the contest today at vsin.com/Joe, vsin.com/Joe. And again, that code, if you go to edgeboost.io, edgeboost.io is VSIN. All right, Will Hill. I mentioned Clyde Walker, former Florida State quarterback, was the Average Joe champion a year ago. Florida State going to start Ashton Daniels, a quarterback tonight. Started his career at Stanford. He's got 24 career starts, 25 TD passes, 23 picks. Not too impressive in terms of the numbers. He's going to have to play lights out tonight for Florida State to get the win. And pun intended, the lights are out at Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee. How about this, Will Hill? Florida State spent all its money on NIL, so it didn't have enough left over to pay the power bill. Lights are out in Tallahassee. We have a game delay.
Way too many delays in college football. I don't want to step on Chris Massaro's turf because he has really dominated Twitter this weekend with his thoughts. I echo all sentiments, though. I mean, this is just a recent development. Last, I don't know, 3 years, 4 or 5 years. This was not a regular thing. You know, all these years in college football, now all of a sudden there's lightning in the area, rain in the area, and we shut everything down. I know this is different, but way too many delays nowadays in college football. Rant over.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure what you could do about this one when the power goes out and the lights won't turn on, but apparently this game's going to kick off in about 5 minutes, and betting public all over the road favorite here, SMU. Going to be intriguing to see how this plays out tonight because I do not want to be with the majority on this, even though SMU looks clearly like the better team with a better quarterback and the better coach. But I hate to play road favorites. Anyway, Chris Vanini of The Athletic, I believe, put this out. Power outage in parts of Doak Campbell Stadium. Game will have a 5-minute delay. Replay won't be available for now. So I guess the officials are going to keep the clock. They'll have a secret clock when this game starts, Will.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it'll be fine. There will be no controversies. Look, I get there's a power outage. It doesn't look too dark to me. It looks fine. But again, I don't really know with some of these delays, but sounds like we're going to be playing here sooner rather than later. I'm with you. It's a stay away. And I just, you know, it's boring to sit here, standalone game. People are listening to a betting network. They want picks. They want bets. But I mean, you got to be honest. If this game were on noon Eastern on a Saturday with 100 other games on, would you be betting it? Would I be betting it? The answer is no. I don't want to just bet it just because it's on. It's, you know, a situation where I understand the sentiment for the home dog with Florida State. Maybe it's an overreaction, but maybe SMU is just the better team. I mean, you and I were doing the show a year ago to the day, almost Labor Day, TCU, North Carolina, where, mm-hmm. You know what? You could make the case home dog, just take the points with North Carolina. It's the sharp side. And North Carolina was up 7-0, and TCU absolutely bludgeoned them for the next 3 hours. So not saying it's going to go like that, but I can make a case for both sides. It's a pretty easy pass for me, at least to start.
Speaking of bludgeoning and delays, there's a 2-hour lightning delay in that Clemson-LSU game. And I bet Dabo Sweeney wishes that game never were played. 51-10, Lane Kiffin and the Tigers. Get to win in Baton Rouge. I did not get to see that game. I was at the Hawaii game on Saturday, but I was checking the score. I was like, what is going on? Is Dabo going to resign? This is an all-time embarrassment for a Clemson program that won a couple of national championships with Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, a quarterback, and it's embarrassing for what's happened right now to Dabo and this Clemson program. Did you watch much of that game?
More than I needed to. And when you have one team outgained the other by 500 yards, that pretty much says it all. And I don't even know it was as close as the 51-10 final. It's over. Whether it happens now, week 3, week 6, at the end of the year, you know what? He won 2 national titles. He played for a 3rd national title in 2019 against, coincidentally, that same LSU team, that Burrow team in 2019. He's not going to be the coach this time next year. I'd be shocked. I thought a couple years ago it was nearing an end. And he had that run. He had that kind of not miraculous win because they were the better team that night against SMU. They had a big lead, won on a late kick, and that got him into the playoffs that saved his job. But he just hasn't adapted. We've seen some of these older guys, Matt, with the NIL. Some of them had retired, Jay Wright, Nick Saban. Some of them, you know, retired to do TV. Some of them have adapted. Dabo has not adapted. His team is just not that good. They're not that talented. And I don't know if he's doing TV a year from now. He's sitting out. He's coaching another team. I'd be surprised, if not shocked, a year from now he's coaching Clemson. To me, it's a matter of if, not when.
I agree with you.
Not if.
Yeah, right. And yeah. That's what I said about Mike Norvell earlier. It seems like a matter of when, not if, he's going to be fired. But this is a big game for Norvell if he could get a win like this tonight at home against Florida State. One more glance here at the VSIM Pro page. The picks on this game tonight, and it's almost all SMU. Super Dave Ross, SMU first half, -1.5. And these are the handicappers on the SMU side. Stormy Bonantoni, Bruce Marshall, Colin Wilson, Brian Edwards, Ryan Kramer, the big Swede, Dustin Swedelson on the money line, David Bierman, CJ Solomon, Chris Vasile, and Eric Cohen, all on SMU. We have a lone wolf on Florida State, and that's Brad Taylor, taking the 3 with the Seminoles. And we have one play on the total. That's Jensen Lewis, under 53.5. All right, let's get we talked with Johnny Avello about the Cowboys-Giants game on Sunday night. It's going to be a heavily bet game. A lot of attention on this. And the Cowboys have become kind of a chic pick in the offseason to win the NFC East, to be a playoff team. I like the Cowboys. I typically don't, but I like a lot about the Cowboys this season. Let's hear from Chris the Bear Felica about the Dallas Cowboys.
I like the Cowboys. I cannot believe I'm saying this. I think in the offseason with the moves they made, both through the draft and free agency, they have improved their defense quite a bit. Brian Schottenheimer was like one of those like lightning rod type coordinators where people would always take shots at his offense and some of his play calling. He's one of those guys who was a better head coach than he was a coordinator. Usually it works out where most guys are better coordinators than they are head coaches. I think the Cowboys are loaded. I am not a Giants guy in this division. I am worried about the Eagles offense. The Eagles defense is going to be fantastic, but offensively I think the Eagles got problems. I think the Commanders are going to take another step back this year. I don't know if Jaden Daniels can stay healthy.
That's Chris the Bear Felica on the Bear Bets podcast, and I agree with the Bear, and I've said this for the first time on Super Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis's show in June. I said I hate to say it, but I like the Cowboys, and I think I bet the Cowboys to win the NFC East. Will, are you going to jump on the bandwagon here, or are you going to play? Let's wait and see. Let's not get carried away with this Dallas defense being much improved.
I don't like backing organizations that I don't have belief in, and you can say the same thing when we talk all summer about the Yankees, and there's some similarities. Yankees, Cowboys, you know, used to be glory days, and it just kind of passed their prime, and they're not run the way they used to be run, and bad ownership, all that. But I'm with you guys. The team is loaded. We know the offense, which is more predictive year to year, is usually good and it should be really good. You worry a little bit, Pickens, is he going to be on his best behavior for a second straight year? That could be a concern. But, man, they're good on offense. The defense played a little bit better second half of last year. I was shocked Caleb Downs fell as far as he did. He, to me, is a game-changing player. 9.5 wins seems a little low. Plus 180 or so to win the division seems a little high. I would not be surprised if for the first time in 30 years, Matt, they're one of the final four teams playing come, what, late January here in an NFC title game. I think they're really, really good.
I do too. Cowboys loaded offensively. And you can always throw in that qualifier and say if they stay healthy. That's true with any football team. It's true with the Bengals last year and Joe Burrow. Any team, look, if you bet a future on a team and the quarterback goes down, you're probably screwed. And that was the case with Burrow and the Bengals. Dak Prescott's got George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb. He's got so many weapons offensively. You know the Cowboys are going to put up points. Is the defense more respectable? I believe it is. Christian Parker, young DC, coming over from Philadelphia. About 7 new faces who are impact players on the defensive side of the ball. I'm buying into the Cowboys for the first time in a long time. The rest of that division, Will, the Eagles seem to be on a bit of a downturn to me. No A.J. Brown anymore. We'll see how that impacts what the Eagles are doing offensively, but Jalen Hurts definitely doesn't appear to be on the upswing. I think the Commanders are the last place team. They're in the basement in the East, and the Giants should be on the rise. What do you think in that division?
I think you said it well. I think you said it well. And all the reports from Commanders camp is, you know, and these training camp reports are usually very optimistic. They can't block. The offense doesn't look good. A far cry from where they were not that long ago in the NFC title game. I'm not sure where you're getting out of Washington this year.
All right, we believe we're going to have SMU Florida State tonight. Still have a power outage in Tallahassee. Hour number 2, on tap. Stay tuned, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.